This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello and welcome back to another bonus episode of Green and White, brought to you by Argyle Life. We're aiming to bring you something a little different with this one. I've often wondered how transfers work, how they happen, all the internal workings of the transfer market, and how clubs find and recruit their targets. So to find out, I'm delighted to welcome former communications manager Dan Cole. How are you, mate? How's things?
Very well, thank you. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, I've just mentioned that I'm recovering from a chest infection and can't get my mic to work, so audio on this one might not be best quality, but it's not about the audio quality, it's about the content. Yeah, I was just really interested to find out how you know, the internal workings of the transfer market work, and I don't think there's anybody better that we could call upon on such short notice to find out. Obviously, before we get into this one, obviously, and so people are aware on the timings, yesterday the club announced the loan signing of Darko, and I'm going to say his last name completely wrong. I'm going to say Giarbi from Leeds United until the end of the season. Obviously, you're a fan first and foremost. What are your thoughts on his signing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exciting. I think it obviously it's quite easy to see the connection between his career and Ian Foster, which is always a positive sign for a new manager to come in. Sorry, head coach to come in and bring in a player that he has worked with before. He's obviously really tall, which I think obviously we've identified as fans. We're obviously aware of kind of a lack of goal scoring action from set pieces. So he and Phillips might be able to bring a little bit more sort of power in the box, which is exciting. I've got to admit, I don't know too much about him as a player. I can kind of comment either way on whether I think he'll be successful at the level. But I can say, obviously, and we'll speak more about this later, I can speak to the kind of strength and robustness of the recruitment department and the research that they do. So I have no doubt, looking at the track record that we have, particularly in the loan market, we've been exceptional. So I'm pretty excited to see what he can do. I think to get one in so quickly after we lost Kundal is obviously quite positive, and hopefully it calms everyone, settles everyone's nerves a little bit, because obviously I sense a feeling of getting closer to sort of panicking about the squad depth. So we're back where we were in that respect.
Yeah, obviously we've refilled those two loans that we've lost. On that then, you mentioned the recruitment department. Move on to the meat of this chat. Obviously, I don't know how this starts off. I assume Jimmy comes and says, "Oh, I've found somebody. I've targeted someone, and you know, he thinks will complement the current setup." What are his initial first steps?
So, my understanding, it's probably worth pointing out as well that even though I work within the club, even a great deal of the recruitment is under lock and key. So I'm not familiar with, I won't get to see every player they've got on a list, for example, but I do know that he and Ross, and I think the analysts, and I believe they actually have some students who might come in and help them sort of pass through all the data, are just constantly on the churn looking for, you know, monitoring the data that comes in to identify players. And I think My understanding is that they identified sort of key data points that they want their players to be strong in. So whether that's kind of, I don't know, XG created for attacking midfielders, etc. I don't know every data point, but you know, they'll identify the KPIs and then whittle down a list of kind of, well, you've got every player pretty much in the world on there. So they'll have to whittle it down in a few areas. Firstly, whether they can get across to Britain now with the rules changing with Brexit, whether they're within our kind of realistic target base and so on and so forth. They'll whittle down a database to probably a handful of names for each position. They'll have spoken with the coaches, with Neil Jusnip, who's obviously heavily involved in all of it, at the beginning of the process to identify what the head coach is looking for in a specific position, you know, which characteristics, and then they'll go and identify a shortlist effectively. And I think at that point they bring the shortlist to the table for those recruitment meetings that you hear about. So you may have gone from 100 eligible players down to, I don't know, 6 to 10 or so on. And then from there, there'll be a conversation. They'll obviously have anyone on the shortlist, they'll have had them watched, and they probably will have watched them themselves a few times in person at least. And then obviously you can get games quite easily now, kind of four matches that you can watch a player on the laptop and so on. So they've done a lot of due diligence. They'll bring the list of 6 or 7 up to 10, however many players, to the coaches, and then they'll identify their preferred targets in what order. And then at that point, we go out and try and get them, I think is how it works.
Yeah, so say for example then, just a random example off the top of my head, we highlight a centre midfielder from a Premier League club that we want to bring in on loan. Absolutely no hints there. And that's not me suggesting that you know anything either, by the way. We know.
No, I don't, truly, at the moment, I don't. But go on.
What happens in that case then? So we've highlighted someone. What happens? Do we gauge the players' interest first?
I think it'll often depend on whether there's a pre-existing relationship between anyone at the club and anyone who represents the player or the player themselves. So, but I think in broad terms, now it might depend which happens first. I think generally speaking, you speak to the club first. When you think of, particularly in our position now, as a kind of, as we speak, I'm going to call us lower mid-table Championship club. There's only 30 clubs above us in the pyramid, right? So you have to have a relationship with, if you're going to be reliant on the loan market, you have to maintain a good relationship with those clubs. So broadly speaking, you would go to, I think, the clubs, generally the Premier League clubs, and probably sort of the bigger hitting Championship clubs have a loans manager. So it will be a part of their remit to kind of develop loan plans for players who maybe aren't in the first team picture, but they don't want to offload. So the conversation will be about how much game time we can give them, whether even nowadays it's even down to kind of systems and whether the system we play complements the system they play. So when they go back to their club, they're kind of well versed in kind of an attractive counter-attacking transition sort of game that we've got at the moment. And that conversation will happen, of course. A conversation might either happen between the loan manager and the player's representative, the player's agent, or if the club gives us kind of permission to chat to the agent, then we might chat to the agent. Assuming there's an interest there, then and you know, it works for both parties, all three parties, both clubs and the player. And that's whether it works financially as well as game time, et cetera, et cetera. Then there'll be a conversation. Now, I think what was happening last season, I obviously can't speak to this season now. I'm not sure how much it's changed, probably developed a bit, but it's probably not hugely different. Would be that the club, whether that's Jimmy, Neil, or the head coach, would give a presentation, quite a detailed presentation on how they expect the player to fit into our system and what they want from them, what they'll get in return, how we play, things like that. Now, my understanding is that not every club does that, and I think it's probably a big part of why we've been successful in the loan market is that we've come to we've come to the parent club and the player with a really specific plan for them that I think, you know, is really appealing. I think that players want kind of, or not above anything, but quite high up. Players just want to understand that they're wanted, that the manager truly, or that the club truly understands what sort of player they are, and that they can get the best out of them. So I think us doing that and kind of having this presentation kind of bespoke to each player is a really strong selling point for Argyle. And I think it's why we've had such success in the loan market personally.
There was something, did that come in along with Lowe? I feel like I remember.
I was a little bit lower down at the club when from the previous regime, so I wasn't as aware of all of the information. So it's possible that it was happening before. Certainly aware it's something that came in quite a big way in the change of regime in sort of 2019-20 and then moving forwards. And certainly I think it's kind of grown in prominence to be a real cornerstone of how we go out and sell the club to the players. And it certainly was a big part of when you hear players talk about why they came down. I think you might have heard it in interviews and so on. They all mention, or a lot of them mention, that this plan was in place, that the manager had a really clear idea of how I was going to come into the team, which I think is particularly with young players who maybe don't, this might be their first or second loan. Mm. It's a long way from home in most cases for all of them. To have that kind of peace of mind and comfort that, hey, I'm not just coming into as a body, I'm coming in with a specific plan has been really fruitful, I think. But it might be, could be that Jimmy gives those now, or you know, or a combination depending on who's available, where the relationship is. But certainly I'm aware that it's something that happens with most, if not all, signings now.
Yeah, obviously, you mentioned it there, so I'm just going to jump ahead to it. We can jump back. But obviously, I don't think any Argyle fan needs to be told about our geographical location that puts us at some disadvantage, right? Especially when it comes to attracting talent. Another assumption, but, you know, I assume it's put a few players off, being how far away it is. Obviously, we know that managers have jumped ship back up north as soon as they can. Obviously, footballers often come attached with, you know, partners and children, etc. Do we as a club do anything differently to help there? Or
yeah, so we've got I don't think she's that well known to the majority of the fans, but she's very important. There's something called Ellen Shine, who's the player. As part of her role, she's, I think her title now is assistant club secretary, but she's also the player liaison officer, and she does an amazing job of helping the players and their families with anything that they need before they move, while they're here, and then even she kind of helps them pack up when it's time to go. So she'll organise everything. She'll organise viewings for accommodation. She'll organise travel plans. She'll meet with partners of players and so on to help them feel as comfortable as possible with the move. I think some players, the profile of player we're recruiting is a lot younger, so or has been for the last couple of years. So not all of them will have partners or dependents or anything like that. So a lot of them just get a flat and come straight down, but she'll be involved in those. And then she might spend a bit more time with players' families if they have them, in helping them settle. But I think I understand, and obviously I've been a fan all my life as well, so this kind of geographical position thing is always trotted out. But I've noticed a real big shift in it's been really kind of just pleasing to see it unfold, where players have, you got this feeling maybe, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, longer, that we would be the club that they'd move to if we were the best club available in the league, but if there were better options, they might go closer to home. Whereas now I genuinely feel that players, I mean, you've seen it unfold in some of the transfer dealings in the summer, players had other options and they chose to come here. They had other options that in some cases might have even been better for them financially. but they chose to come here, and that's because I think that the club puts a lot of resources and time into making the players and their families feel as comfortable as possible. And it's just a really positive environment for, particularly for a young player to come in and perform and make a name for themselves. You know, I don't think even 2-3 years ago, assuming we had the resources to get them, players like Morgan or Barley would have chosen to come here over other options. But now now everybody knows, and you can see it in kind of the way that we're reported on. Everybody knows what we stand for: a well-run club, family club, good place to play, play great football. They'll look after you there. And so that reputation means that I don't think that the geographical situation is as much of a kind of burden as it used to be. Or at least if it is, there are a lot more reasons to come here that outweigh that.
Right. Yeah, nice.
Personally. But obviously I'm hopelessly green-tented. But certainly I think the quality of players that we're bringing in, these are all players who have other options and choose to come here, which I don't think has always been the case.
Yeah, obviously the quality of player, I think from when you started to now is slightly different as well. So obviously we've been through that process. Obviously Jimmy finds a potential target. We do the research. We contact the club. When it comes to the actual players coming, then that they venture down the A38 and rock up at Home Park or Harper's or whatever. And then this is where the media team take over, right? And you start, you know, clips of their first day and announcement videos. And then obviously Twitter comes awash with, you know, the in the know rumors, etc. How many people actually know? Obviously you've already mentioned that you're not privy to the shortlists and stuff, or you weren't when you were at the club, sorry. How many people actually know about these deals? Is it a case of that news travels fast and everybody at the club does know, or is it just a select few?
They try and keep it really tight. So the first time that we would get briefed in as a media team is probably, well, it varies from player to player, because obviously in some cases it's not an exact science in that deals really aren't done until they're done. So I'm not going to name the players, but I could reel off, you know, 6, 7, 12, 15 player transfer press releases I've written that never see the light of day because they don't turn up eventually. Right. That's less the case now.
Have you ever got to the point where you've like filmed and recorded and taken photos and they've still not turned up?
Not quite. I think broadly when they're here, you're pretty likely to have them signed.
It's a long way to come, isn't it? Like, there's plenty of opportunities to turn around.
I can't think of a time in which a player has arrived to do all of their signing stuff, certainly not while I was at the club, to then not sign. So right. I think that's when you kind of know it's a pretty, you kind of 95% at least done. But I mean, you'd be aware of, for example, a year before we signed, I can mention him because we did sign him eventually. A year before we signed Niall Ennis, I'd written a Niall Ennis press release. Right. And then did he go on loan to Doncaster maybe? And then, so it was the season that we were in League Two, I think. Yeah, that's right, because we got promoted and then we had the COVID season. Then he signed in the COVID season. So I'd written that because I was told it was going to happen and to get ready for it. And then he went somewhere else. So that's an example.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123.
They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
But broadly speaking, the way it works is kind of the people involved in the deal. So you'll obviously have the head coach, Neil, Jusnip and Jimmy, probably other football staff that are involved in the deal. Then you've obviously got the CEO and the club secretary. So that's Andrew and Zach Newton, who kind of sign it off and get the paperwork done. Generally, then there was a chap above me called Jamie Yabsley, who might be aware of it, from Zach at that point to say, your team needs to get ready. Then he'll let me know. Then I'll get a press release prepared, or Rob or someone in the team will get a press release prepared. This is maybe a day before they arrive, but then we don't do much more than that because you kind of, there's a couple of things. It's really not done 24 hours before. Mm-hmm. And you also can't necessarily, you can't do all the pictures and the video and obviously and everything like that until they're here. Once they've arrived, then at that point, they'll go and in various orders, but they tend to then go off-site for a medical. I think they only go off-site at the moment because the facilities are, you know, I think in the future they'll do it on the site, but it's not prepared yet. They'll go off-site for a medical. Zach will be finalising the contracts and the formalities. And once we've done our bit, once the player's back from the medical and it's all good, they'll go and do media. So they'll go with Charlie and Charlie generally for kind of promo video and interview and so on. And then the comms team, which is a chap called Ali now and Rob McNichol, would then liaise with the selling club or the loaning club's comms team to try and organise an announcement time. But obviously an announcement time, it tends to be that you'll send a message to the selling club and say, he's here, he's had his medical, we're waiting, to give them a heads up that it's happening. And then it's only when Zach says the medical's clear and the contract's done that we can actually then agree an announcement time with the selling club. So there's a lot of moving parts, and it's like from the club's perspective, obviously at any point if we were to announce prior to any of those individual elements being done, you run the risk of it failing. So then you burn the relationship with the club, you burn the relationship with the player, and the club makes itself look silly. So it really has to wait until all of those things are done before it announces anything. There are various ways in which the news can come out. So via the media at the other end, at the other club, for example, an agent might tell someone, they might have a great relationship with a journalist who then shares it out. And you've obviously got to deal with that. But from the club's perspective, they can't confirm anything until they're really certain, because it may still not come off.
I suppose two things like that then. The first one is, how annoying is it when these deals get scuppered, or, you know, told to journos or you know, find their way onto social media, etc. And then I suppose the other half of that is how annoying is it when you know that you know the deals, you know, say for example, let's use the Luke Cundall situation, where you know in your heart of heart he's gone, he's got home, but you can't confirm that. You have a lot of people tweeting you saying,
yeah, why aren't you telling us things, and transparency, yeah, things like that. I mean, I think, so obviously I'll go with what I know. And there was obviously a similar situation with Morgan last year, so I can speak about that one because I was there, whereas I don't.
Yeah,
that
might have been a better example for me to use, but yeah.
I don't know the details, but if it's anything like, and I'd imagine it would be exactly the same, because when you think about it, the recalling club, for the same reason as we don't want to burn a relationship with them, they're not going to want to, the club really won't be told that he's being recalled until he's being recalled. There might be conversations that happen between director of football, we're considering it, etc. But, you know, the club won't have had information on, for example, Finn being recalled until 15 minutes before they confirmed that Finn had been recalled. The burden on the journalist, the burden on the club to share the information is they can only really share the information when it's fact. Like, whereas when you see journalists reporting on it and so on, they don't share the same burden. They don't share the direct responsibility with the loan club and the player to get the information right. They don't have the legal obligations. If they get some information and they can stand it up with a source, then they can share it. So they might well have had the information from Middlesbrough, for example, that Finn was on his way up for a signing, and he may well have been on his way up for a signing while still technically being a Plymouth Argyle loan player, because his agent and his selling club have said, go to Middlesbrough because you're going to Middlesbrough. But the club, they may have had an inkling that it's happening, or the director of football may have been told, but that's not the same as the formal recall coming in. And the club can only act when a formal recall happens. So, and I do think with Cundall, Neil spoke about it before the game, and then he spoke about it in Foster's press conference, didn't he? And I think with Cundall, probably he wasn't told until he was told. He was in fact told that he'd be staying until he was told he wouldn't be staying. Whereas I think when I was there with Morgan, when Morgan was happening, you know, we had been informed that there were discussions happening.
Is there a period in which the parent club come to you and say, look, we're looking to offload X?
I think with Morgan, our information might have come from Morgan's agent, because Morgan was a really specific case in that he really didn't want to be recalled. He made that quite clear. He wanted to be here, and obviously he's back now. So I think that's a really specific case. Whereas, you know, I'm obviously not privy to the details, but I'm not sure whether a permanent deal for Finn was an option for us. Mm-hmm. Whereas it was an option, you know, we would have tried to make that happen with Swansea in January, I think, if that had been an option. So they're obviously, all the situations are different. The players' considerations are different. Now, I'm sure, I think Finn had a great time here, but he also probably knew it wasn't an option. So, and he's out of contract at Villa with little to no prospect of getting in their first team, so it felt like a reasonable move for him to go and move on. Whereas I think Morgan's future really was up in the air, and he was having a great time here in a way that he hadn't been anywhere else for a long time. So there was a little bit more kind of, there were more discussions to be had there in a way, I think.
Yeah, I suppose just on the in the nose whilst we're on that, you've mentioned that no deals have really been scuppered in terms of once they're at the club. But have deals been scuppered because they've been leaked to journos and stuff before? Or
I think often, and I don't know for sure, but I think if an agent is trying to get the best deal possible for their player, and there's a deal available at Argyle, but they want to keep their options open, it's maybe in the agent's best interest to let a journalist know that he might be going down to Plymouth, but hey, he's available. I don't know. I'm speculating. I don't think that, how do I put it? Often the reporting around it is sort of, is when we're signing a player, is mostly irrelevant. And the biggest risk that it poses is that it just takes the air out of the balloon for one of Charlie's hype videos, you know, because you all know who he is already. And, you know, we're just trying to excite fans, really. I mean, can you imagine if, I know that like some pictures were taken of Morgan pitch side in the summer, getting his pictures done with his Morgan Wicker 10 shirt, and so everybody knew it was happening. But can you imagine if we just dropped that? It would have been insane. You know, nobody would have seen it coming. Whereas they had that kind of, and you can argue about like where most excitement comes from. You can't expect people not to try and find out things that are happening at the club, but it tends not to pose too much risk. Actually, the biggest issue, I think, is the other way around, where people are sharing rumours that they think is true but probably isn't, and they're kind of, then it leads to Chris having to ask some difficult questions in a press conference, and everyone saying, you know, no, that isn't happening, and it can whip up. I can't remember what day it was, but I opened Twitter and everyone was in a frenzy about Morgan going to Brentford. Now, again, I don't know. I absolutely do not know, but I trust the club when they say that there haven't been any offers or interest and they don't want to sell him. But if you opened Twitter at a specific time, you'd have seen that everyone had effectively written his eulogy and we were relegated. And I just think, you know, that's probably where it's worse, because I think the club has had a lot, has like built a lot of success over the last couple of years, and a lot of it is based on kind of positive, the feeling of positive upward momentum and unity between the club and the fan base and the players, you know, giving everything to represent the fans in the city and so on. And I think, you know, it can be destabilizing. Rumors can be destabilizing if they gather enough momentum. But, you know, I think that's probably where it's riskiest, because I think there's kind of what the public knows, and football's a village anyway. So what tends to happen is that people within football tend to know where players are going before they've gotten there somehow. I'm not really sure how it works, but not really sure how that happens. Sorry. But I mean, certainly, and you know, the player is probably walking, you know, these players, a lot of them live in the city, so they pop into the supermarket and they're getting asked if they're being sold or whatever. And, you know, I think that's probably where it can be most difficult and most challenging. And the club can't come out and comment on every rumour that gets shared, because there wouldn't be time to do anything else. And of course, if you set a position where you respond to every single rumour, then everybody knows that when you don't respond to a rumour, then it must be true. So you can't win. So I think the when that happens, the best environment is for Chris to ask the question and then for it to get patted down in a press conference. But in the meantime, you've got 2 days of people whipping themselves up about a transfer that may not happen.
Yeah, we know from our experience of just running a rumour rater, just to keep up with rumours is hard enough. Never mind actually like commenting on all of them and trying to find out if they're all true or false, or and our success rate is pretty good, but again, we don't know anything, so there's a lot of just looking at the source and guessing, and you have to just look at the information that's in front of you, and like you said, you can't respond to all of them. But I think that's pretty much most of the steps of a transfer covered. I mean, we went off piste a little bit there within the news, but I don't know if there's anything else you want to add, Dan.
I don't think so, really. I think one thing I will say is that there are occasions where you do just have to check with. I'll go to, like, I would have gone to Zach or someone and said, "I've seen these rumours," and they'll go, "No, it's not." So it's not that there's nothing in that. So it's not that we don't pay attention, or we didn't pay attention, because it's our job to go, a lot of people talking about X player's going to Y, or we're signing whoever, and. But generally speaking, it's not a tremendous success rate with the internet in the news generally. But there have been times when they've come off, and of course, when somebody does get one right, it lends credence to their account, and people pay more attention. So,
yeah. What's the most interesting one you've seen? Has there been anyone major that made you laugh?
I can't think of one of them. Have you got any examples?
No, I remember is the constant links to David Healy when I was younger, but not really in the news.
That would have been good, wouldn't it? I think they are interesting, aren't they, in their nature? I mean, a lot of the fun of being a football fan is kind of speculating on you know, who your club might sign, or the direction of travel for the club and so on. And that's for a lot of people, that's more fun than the actual signing. And I completely get that. And I think when you see a rumour pop up and you're like, oh, and you go and look them up, you go, oh, that'd be brilliant signing. But then you think, oh, they're on 50 grand a week. How can we afford that? And then, you know, it transpires that we weren't ever in for them, and it kind of makes a lot more sense. But I can't think of anyone off the top of my head where I've gone, God, I hope that's true. But there have been occasions where I've gone, yeah, that player would be brilliant. And I've gone and asked Zach, and he's gone, I'm sorry, I don't know anything about that. I've gone, oh, never mind. But I do think, generally speaking,
never use that as a platform to be like, can we go sign him then?
Yeah, what do you reckon though? I'll get my wallet out and see if there's anything in there. I do think though, the signings, and I don't know if this is just confirmation bias, but like the players that you, broadly speaking, like the players that you maybe have heard less about or know less about, and you sign them, you tend to be more pleased with those. Whereas I think when on the rare occasions the club has signed what might be referred to as a name in footballing standards, has often they've often been less successful. And I don't know whether that's because we place a lot more, we as fans place a lot more hope in them because we've heard of them, and so the expectations are higher, or whether they're coming to the club kind of, and they've gone and made their name and they're kind of on their way out of their career or whatever. But, you know, guys like last season, obviously guys like Morgan and Barley, they'd come in with loans, but not amazing. Like, you know, they hadn't gone and ripped it up at their previous clubs in the same way that they ripped it up here. And then within kind of months, they become absolute heroes. And I think, I think there's something to be said for that, maybe.
No, it's been brilliant to chat to you, Dan, and I really appreciate it. Really insightful in terms of how we maybe need to calm our expectations over some big names and look forward to the lesser known ones coming in. I completely agree there, but I really appreciate you jumping on with us, filling us in as best you can. Obviously,
yeah, of course.
The stuff that you can't say, stuff that we don't want you to say either, if it's just Argyle's chances of signing some of these names. But no, really appreciate it. Thank you, mate.
No problem. Take care.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.